Hey everybody, real quick before we start, do not forget to enter the Be a Corecast Host for a Day contest. The lucky winner, you guessed it, gets to host their very own episode of Corecast. The contest ends September 26th, so make sure to enter by sending your name and email address to corecast@usgs.gov. That's CoreCast at usgs.gov. Learn more about the contest by listening to episode 60 of Corecast at usgs.gov/corecast. Remember, we're only using your contact info for the purposes of picking a winner. If you're under 18, get your parents' permission. USGS employees and their immediate families are not eligible. Good luck, and enjoy this episode of Corecast.
Welcome to the final in a three-part USGS Corecast series discussing the California sea otter with Dr. Tim Tinker. Wow, you've really done your part this week to increase sea otter awareness, Tim.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
You have a lot of cool equipment in this room. How have new technologies affected your research?
New technologies have really greatly changed the way that we study sea otters and many other marine species. Clearly, trying to study a species of animal that lives most of its life beneath the water, and so therefore out of sight to human eyes, poses some unique challenges. And it's quite a bit different than studying a terrestrial species that you can follow around all day long. And technologies have greatly increased our ability to do that. One example with sea otters is radio telemetry. This is not something that, this is not terribly new. This began to become important about 20 years ago. By implanting sea otters with these small little radio transmitters that we can monitor from shore or from airplanes, we're able to follow individual animals over about a 2 to 5 year period and look at their individual behavior, their movement patterns, their habitat use, and ultimately, when they die, we can recover them and find out what they died from. So telemetry-based technologies have been really important, allowing us to learn detailed things about the behavior and the life history of marine animals. Another newer piece of technology that's helped us learn a lot more is biologging technology, and in particular something called a time depth recorder. This is a small little instrument that we implant into a sea otter. We have to implant it with a sea otter because we can't attach anything to the outside of a sea otter because they're so reliant upon their fur for thermoregulation. We implant this little instrument, and it collects really detailed data on the dive behavior of that animal. It records the depth and the time, and also the internal temperature of the animal at 2 second intervals for about a year. We can recover that instrument, and that gives us a really in-depth look into the sort of the life of that animal. We see every dive that it's made over a year's time. We can see when it's foraging, where it's foraging, how deep it's foraging, when it's resting, when it's traveling, when it's interacting with other animals. When we put that together with the geospatial data we get from the radio telemetry instruments and with the direct observational data we get by looking through telescopes and watching these animals in their day-to-day life, seeing what they do and what they eat, it really gives us a more and more detailed understanding of how sea otters are surviving in their environment and how they're being exposed to the different risk factors that lead to the increased mortality that are preventing full population recovery.
Are you looking forward to any specific technologies?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There's a few different areas where we hope to see technology opening up new areas of information to us over the next couple of years. One is sort of an update to the telemetry instrumentation that we currently use. We're hoping to get to further develop instrumentation so we can get better geospatial data on the animals, either using satellite telemetry or potentially a cell phone type instrumentation that actually uses existing cell phone networks to broadcast geospatial data for where the animal is, or potentially just better VHF type technologies where we'll be able to really get a more detailed and comprehensive picture of the animal's movements in the environment. But another whole branch of technologies that is becoming more and more important for sea otters and other species are molecular-based technologies that tell us a lot about what sea otters or what other animals are eating and how they're making their living. So to give you an example, stable isotope technology utilizes the specific patterns of stable isotopes of carbon and nitrogen that all of us get when we consume things from the environment. There's particular signatures, molecular signatures, that can tell us where we've gotten the food we're eating. So if you consume a diet of spinach collected that's grown in Central California, or if you eat a diet of meat that's been grown in the Midwest, you will have very different isotopic signatures. And sea otters, all we need to do is pluck one single whisker from that and then look at in great detail. We can see a really detailed picture from that of what the otter has been consuming and how that has changed over time, because the whisker grows slowly over probably a little over a year of time. So we can have a year in the diet of that animal recorded perfectly in its whisker. So it's a very non-invasive way of collecting a lot of information. Some other molecular techniques, including fatty acid profiling, we hope to put these together to really improve our ability to understand the diets of sea otters and therefore learn how they are contracting the various pollutants and pathogens that that seem to be affecting their mortality.
Is there anything else that you think people should know about sea otters in your work?
Well, if there's one thing that I could emphasize, I guess, about our research program here, we've more and more come to understand that sea otters give us a unique opportunity to understand the functionality of an ecosystem, in this case, the nearshore marine ecosystem, an area that's particularly sensitive to human impacts, because in particularly somewhere like California, where 20 to 25 million people live so close along the ocean. For years and years, I think there was a perception that humans were having very little impact on the ocean, because the ocean, you looked out and you saw nice, clear, blue waters, and we assumed that we weren't affecting them in any, you know, in any substantial way. We're increasingly learning that that is not the case, and that human impacts to the ocean ecosystem have been profound, and in most cases, unfortunately, have been very negative. Species like sea otters really are, we've really discovered in the last few years that they offer us a unique opportunity to better understand how these marine ecosystems work and how we as humans are impacting the functionality of those marine ecosystems. And they do so both in the case of sea otters, they're really excellent sentinels of nearshore marine ecosystem health, both because they're relatively easy to study as compared to most other marine animals. They stay very close along the shore. We can put these instruments on them that allow us to study individual animals for years and years in great depth. They also are highly sensitive to some of the same factors that that impact humans and a lot of other species. They consume, by consuming all these different species of shellfish, they're sort of bioaccumulators. They concentrate all these different types of pollutants and types of pathogens that we're putting into the marine ecosystem better than most other species. So, and they're also sensitive as mammals. They're sensitive to a lot of the same things that affect us. So for these and a variety of other reasons, they really give us a really unique window onto these processes. And so we're learning to let sea otters teach us about how ecosystems work and how what we can do to change the way that we interact with marine ecosystem to a more positive relationship.
Well, thank you, Tim. I really appreciate the time you've taken to speak with us this week, and we wish you good luck in your research.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
CoreCast is a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior.